out between. How many of you guys know God is doing something in the country right now? How many of you guys know God has been doing something in the country for forever? I mean, he's always doing stuff. Amen. one of the things that this last week that kind of hit the news and things that was going on in the world was that there had been what people were saying was a revival. They were saying, you know, a revival had broken out at Asbury College. Basically what happened was they have chapel service one day a week, and at the end of chapel service, some young students stayed around afterward and started praying, and basically kids started coming back from their classes and started having worship services and having a prayer meeting, and the Spirit of God started moving, and basically they had 24 hours a day for the last 7 days. They've been doing that, and it hasn't stopped yet. And what happened is word got out, and people started showing up from the community and then from surrounding states. And then what happened is people from other countries and other, and it kind of took off. And what happened was when it took off was what was going on there started popping up in other areas. Lee University started having very similar events happen at their college campus with kids. And then I know some friends of mine said, you know, little pockets of it are happening at ORU. And there's all these different things that are happening where God is moving on the younger generation. And what's happened is the younger generation is coming together, and then the older generation is there also, and God's just moving in everybody's life, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see people are getting healed, people are getting set free, people are getting delivered, the Spirit of God is moving and changing lives, people are repenting, people are getting saved, people are getting born again, people are coming back into fellowship with God, and it's awesome to see that. It's awesome to see what God is doing. And I was telling the group this morning, it's just awesome to see that, but then also it's great to see coming out this next week, they're releasing the movie about the Jesus Revolution. And you guys that are older know what the Jesus Revolution was. That was a revival that hit the hippies back in the 70s. And I mean, it just took off. It actually took off so much and changed so many people's lives, it made the cover of Time magazine. And it was called the Jesus Revolution. And what happened is a lot of, the pastors that are preaching today and the evangelists that are older, they got saved at those meetings. They got saved because of that movement. And, you know, it's so encouraging to see that when I would watch this and hear this, it was just like in my heart, I was excited. Because I know for myself, being a former youth pastor, I know that a lot of times people think, well, is God doing anything? And I know God's always moving. But I thought it was awesome when God started moving with young people. The generation, they call them Generation Z, which is the age 11 to 26, which is where a lot of this has happened, they're hungry for God. And, you know, my wife and I have said this before at this church, we believe that the younger generation is the generation that's going to usher in the second coming of the Lord. We just believe that in our heart. We just believe that, my son and the older generation above him, there's just something there. They just have a hunger for the things of God. And so it's really encouraging when you see that. But as I was watching that and I was listening to that, I realized, you know, what's awesome is the same Holy Spirit that moves at these revivals is the same Holy Spirit that moves at Life Point Church. And I started thinking, to myself, I thought, you know what's also awesome? The same God they serve is the same God we serve. And I thought, you know, the same God that moves there is the same God that moves here. And, you know, I started looking at it, and I started looking at all the older revivals and things that had happened throughout the world, and I realized that these things would happen, and they would spark, and they would have outbreaks, and people's lives would be changed, and the Spirit of God would move. And then I realized, wait a second, the same God that moved during the charismatic renewal is the same God that's here today. The same God that moved during the massive healing revivals and the second awakening with Charles Finney, and then you had Dwight Moody that preached some of the revivals up in Chicago, and all these things that happened, I realized the same God. Same God. Same Holy Spirit. And it encouraged me, and it just kind of infused me to just say, man, this is awesome because we serve the same God. And I was like encouraged. And then the Lord said to me something very interesting. He gave me three scriptures. He gave me one this morning, And he said, read these scriptures. And I thought, okay, so I read them. And when I read them, I realized what God was trying to get to me. Because he wanted me to share this with you to encourage you. Because I don't know about you, when I come in on church on Sunday morning, I'm here because I love God. That's my heart. I don't come just to come to fill a pew or a seat. I come because I love God. I got saved from a denomination. I got saved when I was in a denominational church. Got saved in a church that didn't teach healing. Got saved in a church that taught me the sprinkle would save me. Realized that when I was 18 years old that I had been sprinkled and I was dying and going to hell wet. That's what I realized. And I realized that I had to get born again. I had to change my life. And when God touched my life was radically transformed. The same spirit that was moving at these revivals was the same spirit that just got on the inside of me and took a dead man and made him alive. Same spirit that empowered me. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I preached a message, about things at a denominational church that you weren't supposed to preach. And I didn't care because I knew people needed God. I knew my generation did. I remember I was told when I was younger and I would be in a church and I would raise my hands. They would tell me to put my hands down. They told me I talked too long during worship. We're on a time frame. And I always said, why you put God in a box? Don't put him in a box. God wants to move and change people's lives if we just let him. And so the Lord put this scripture on my heart. And when I read it, I went, oh, I see. And that scripture was Psalms 22, verse 3. And it says this in the King James Version, thou inhabits the praises of your people. Thou inhabits the praises of your people. What's it mean to inhabit? Well, if you look at the actual definition, the word inhabit means this. It actually means to sit. It means to remain. It means to dwell. I like what it says in the Amplified. It says, you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. It says this in the New American Standard, you are enthroned upon the praise of Israel. Enthroned is a place of authority. And so the Bible says in the King James, thou inhabits the praises of his people. To inhabit means to remain, to sit, to stay. So when you think about it, the Bible says this, that when we worship God and we praise him, he inhabits our praises. So that means when you just finished singing, God was here. He's here. He's here right now. He's here tomorrow. He's here. He moves amongst his people. He's here on Wednesdays. He's here. Whether you feel him or not, he's here. Whether you have goosebumps on your arms or not, he's here. Whether your hair stands up on the back of your neck, he's here. Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. God shows up when we worship. And why does he show up? Because we've lifted him up. See, he comes in and he's enthroned. It's that place of authority. And how many of you know when God shows up in worship and he inhabits your praises, things change. People are healed. People are encouraged. People are reminded of who they are. There's a peace. I don't know about you, but on Sundays, when the first note is hit and the first hand goes up, it's just like peace right there. So he inhabits the praises of his people. So we have to realize this. When we worship, he's here. And you know what I love? You can't change that word. You can't change it. So that means if you worship, he's going to show up. You might say, well, what happens if my neighbor doesn't believe he'll show up? Doesn't matter, he'll still show up because he inhabits the praises of his people. I've said this before, I'm going to say this again. The church is not made up of a building with four walls. The church is made up of you and I. He shows up because we're here. It has nothing to do with this building. It has everything to do with you. And he shows up when you praise and worship him. Boom, he's right here. So number one, you have to realize he's here. He's here. He's here right now. But it's a matter of what do we do when he's here? Most people, when God shows up in a church service, they push, they hurry, they rush. They have a time frame. We prayed on Wednesday, and I said this when we were praying. The Lord just put this on my heart. Lord, just get people to be sensitive enough that they don't rush out to go to lunch. Everybody's so concerned about lunch. I get it, y'all. I like food. Seriously, I'm like, yeah, I like food. Anybody that knows me knows that. But you know what? If God shows up, food can wait. If God's healing and people are ministered to, I'm like, dinner, you can chill for a moment. Why? Because when God's here, God's here. So it allows us to understand, number one, he's here. So realize this, the same God that's happened these revivals throughout history is the same God that's here today. Same God. Same God. That ought to encourage you. Not different, not weaker, same. You say, but why did what happen, you know, at Asbury? Why did it happen? Well, I don't know everything, but I do know this. There was a hunger for the things of God. They were hungry for God. They were praying. Now, a lot of times revivals, before they happen, there's always a hunger and people praying, and sometimes you don't even know about it. I mean, years people pray for things. And there's a hunger for the things of God. You know, there was a revival, I think it was in the Welsh revival, and there's different revivals throughout history. One of them, the power of God hit people so hard, they laid prostrate on the ground for days, and all the bars and prostitution places shut down because everybody kept getting saved. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the hunger? But you say, why would God do that? To change people's lives. To change. So, you know, you look at what's happening over in Wilmore, Kentucky, and you go, man, that's awesome. But what's happening? God's changed people's lives, but then he's sending them back to their communities and saying, take what you've learned here and pray for your community and pray for the people in your area. How many of you know what happened there? God will do something here, but it might look and sound a little different. Still the same God, though. Same God. Because when I look at history with revivals, I see that God used different men and women. God used Charles Finney. Back in the day, God used for the Azusa Street Revival a gentleman by the name of William Seymour. William Seymour was an African-American individual that was a pastor. He went to a service, and they kicked him out. So you know what he did? He went down the street and started his own service. And people started showing up, and they got so many people, they rented out an old Methodist building, and for 3 years, they had a revival at that Methodist building that sparked some of the greatest revivals that we've seen in history. All started because a man had a hunger for the things of God. But you know what's awesome with that revival? Same God. Same. The God that is here, the Spirit of God that is here, is the same Holy Spirit that empowered him. That's awesome. So you can know this much, that when we worship, he inhabits our praises. James 4:8 says this, when you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So think about this. You worship him, he shows up. You draw near to him, he comes close. So that means on a Sunday morning, anytime, when we worship, God shows up every Sunday. No questions asked. He's here. If I don't feel him, he's here. If I feel him, he's here. If he moves in a way that shows himself as far as, like, you know, somebody gets prayed for, some, you know, people get excited, whatever, he's here. But even when there's the teaching of the word, what we're doing right now, he's here right now. Right now. So when I draw near to God, God comes close to me. Who does the movement first? Me. So when I worship, I raise my hands and I worship him. And what happens? He now inhabits the praises, but then he comes close. Why? Because I'm drawing close to him. So what's great about Scripture is this. God can't put something in the word and change it. Because if he does, he's a liar. And then I can't trust him. So those two verses right there tell me something. They tell me that if I come into church, the second the song starts and I start worshiping him, he shows up. But not only that, if I draw close to him, he comes close to me. But here's what's really cool. It's not just for church. You draw close to God in your living room, he shows up. You worship him in the house, he shows up. Have you ever been in your house just worshiping God and just all of a sudden it's like the atmosphere changes? I mean, I've had times in my house where I've just been by myself to worship him and just magnify him and lift my hands up, and all of a sudden I'm like, something's changing. Why? He's there. Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. So when I praise him, he shows up. When I draw close to him, he pulls close to me. That's what God wants us to realize, is that every Sunday we come here, he's here. But it's our response to him that determines what he can do. How do we respond? Do we rush? Do we hurry? Do we say, come on, pastor, sing the three songs and get your message done. I got to get out of here. Or do you say, keep just shucking the corn, pastor. Come on, we need more, because that word, we need that word. We need that word. You know, my wife and I, we've been to services, y'all, where services, you know, how many of you guys been to services where they just go long? You ever been to those? Man, I mean, I've been in services where, you know, it's quick, it's easy, one, done, you're out. But I've been to services where it's long. And I remember I used to get frustrated at them. Like, y'all just quit preaching. I want to go eat or something, you know. I'm one of those people. I'm just like, come on, hurry this thing up. But the reason I was that way was my focus was wrong. There was something that God was trying to get to somebody, including me, in that service. And I was missing it because I was so focused on my food. That's why in church, at the beginning of service, I did an altar call like I did, because God told me to. Normally, I don't do that. But what I'm willing to do is, God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. Because I want you to move and change people's lives. And I don't want the church to get to the place to where we get comfortable, to where it's just like, one, two, three, done, in and out. No, God is here. And it's how we respond to him that determines what he can do. If we say, Lord, move, God will move. But a lot of times what happens is he moves in ways and does things maybe differently than we think how it should be done. Sometimes he'll have people come up front. Sometimes he won't. Sometimes he may just have you worship. I'll tell you this much. When there's a hunger for God, the things of God, God will fill his people. Because why? The Bible says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. So when there's that hunger, you say, what do you mean? When nothing else satisfies you. When you realize it, that's why, you know, the younger generation is so hungry for God, because they realize nothing can fill us anymore. How many of you guys know the younger generation, I mean, they can't trust. I was telling people this before, and I'll say it again. They can't trust anybody. They realize that. They can't trust people, because how many of you know the world's a mess right now with things? People lying, deceiving, manipulating, stealing, robbing. It's just like people are like, I can't trust anybody. I go to school. Something bad could happen. I have this. And kids, the younger kids are like, we need God. And so they said, we're going to pray for God to move upon this country and this nation and the people, because we need him. And so you had a bunch of young people that said, let's just start praying. But see, that's a hunger. And they didn't care. It's not that, you know, when you hear about those services, you're like, so they went 7 days and didn't eat? No, they ate. But they would sit outside, eat, come back in and worship. They would let other people in. Why? They had a hunger for God. You know what I find amazing about the whole thing? One of the things to me that kind of just is awesome is when you look at something like that and there's a line that's a half a mile long for people waiting to get in a building just to experience the presence of God. That's all they wanted to do. They just wanted to come through the back door and worship for 20 minutes just to experience God's presence. That's hunger. People get on airplanes to fly for that stuff. But one of the things we have to realize is the same spirit that's there is the same spirit that's here. The same God they were worshiping is the same God we worship. So what happened? The praises, they were worshiping God and he inhabit. There was a hunger there. And not only did he inhabit, they were drawing close to God, praying for people. So, you know, that hunger drew them close to God. Now, what's awesome is over in 2 Chronicles, you see an incident of this happen. And look over here in 2 Chronicles 5. You see this in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 5. And look over here at verse 13. Now, understand, this is Old Testament. So that means the Spirit of God is up on, okay? Old Testament, the Spirit of God was upon the prophet, the priest, and the king. Okay? The Spirit of God was upon those people. So look what happens here in verse 13. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13. And when the trumpeters and singers were joined in unison, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and other instruments for song and praise the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever." Then the house of the Lord, notice, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. What happened? They were worshiping, and what did he do? He inhabited their praises, and he showed up. And when he showed up, what happened? They couldn't even stand. Now, here's what's amazing about this scripture. That's Old Testament. Spirit of God upon. You have the Spirit of God within. That's what's amazing. So if God showed up and people just had the Spirit up on, how much more can he do in church people that have the Spirit of God within? See, if we allow the presence of God to mold us and to change us, and that hunger, it changes us individually so that when we leave church, we go out and change our communities. We go out and act differently at our jobs. We go out and act differently around our family. We go out and act, we act different than everybody else. We look different. We sound different. And people say, "You're different." Why? Because the Spirit of God has changed my life. When I come to church, I don't leave the same. Now, if you leave the same, that's you. But for me, I determine every Sunday, I am not walking in that building and coming out the same way. I have got to leave different. And I know this much, when we worship, things change. You know, in my life, people always tell me this, and I'm not bragging on myself. Please understand me, I'm not. I'm just telling you what people have said. But people always say, "Man, you know how to pray. You know how to pray. You can pray. You know how to pray. When you pray, you know how to pray." You know how I know how to pray? Because I've spent time with him. But I also believe that what he says in the word is true. And I hold him to his word. I believe that word when I pray. There's a confidence that I have because God's not going to lie to me and just tell me something. He's going to say it in the word because he knows that we can do it. And so when I pray, I just believe the word of God. I just pray the word. And I believe that it works. And guess what? It works. But in the same way, we have to be convinced that when we worship, God shows up. Because most of the time, if we're not careful, we live in this realm of feelings. Well, you know, God was, you know, I've seen this. I've seen this happen at churches. Well, you know, that was a good service today. Well, why was it good? Woo, God showed up. Awesome. How did you know God was there? I felt goosebumps. Okay, cool. So what are you going to do next week when there's no goosebumps? Woo, God was there. Why? Because the music was good. What are you going to do if the music's bad? Because how many of you guys know, let me just tell you this, you set the standard, you. You set the atmosphere. Because what I found out that's very interesting is when that whole revival started, there was no instruments. It was just people singing. Now later on they got some instrument, but it's minimal. It was minimal. Why? They just worshiped. What's that tell me? Scripture works. Scripture works. And you know what's awesome is they just came together and worshiped. So that tells me this. You can worship, but even if it's good or bad or ugly, God still shows up. You know, I remember when I was younger, I watched a person preach. God used this person mightily. I don't remember his name exactly, but he preached. He had a stutter when he would preach. But if you paid attention to his stutter, you missed everything that God was saying. And what was amazing was when God would move on him, he would preach, and it was just like, there was so much there. But everybody else was focusing on the stutter, and I'm like, don't pay attention to the stutter. Listen to what that man's saying. What are you saying that for, Pastor? Don't focus on whether or not you got goosebumps to determine whether or not God is here. Don't focus on the fact of whether or not, well, is my neighbor raising their hand? Because if they raise their hand, then God's here because they're real spiritual. Well, maybe they're raising their hand because they just like, Lord Jesus, I need you today. But what am I trying to get to you? What am I trying to reiterate? What am I trying to get you to get a hold of this morning? When we come together as a body of believers, the Spirit of God within us, when we worship God on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, when we magnify Him even in the privacy of our own home or in our car, when we draw near to Him, God will draw near to you. And when you worship Him, He will inhabit, He will sit and dwell where He is magnified. So when we worship, God just shows up and sits and says, what are you going to allow me to do? Now, how many of you know it starts with me? Because as the pastor, God's going to speak something to me. So that's why I always say I'm always sensitive to God. I've learned this in my life. If God says for me to do something, I do it. It didn't make sense for me to have an altar call at the beginning of service. Logically speaking, I go, that don't work that way. But God said, do it now. Why? I have no idea. I just did it. I didn't question Him. I just said, okay. I mean, how many times has God done something in a service and it seems different than what I think should happen? Whew, I could, thousands of times. You know, there are times where I have messages planned. I'm like, I'm going to preach this. It's going to be good. And then God says, have people come up front and we're going to pray. Well, but okay, that messed that up. But what have I learned? God, you're here. God, we want you to move. So I step back and I allow God to move. And God can change lives quicker than me. God can touch people's lives quicker than me. So when we come together on a Sunday, whether we feel or not, we have to determine that He's here. And not only is He here, but when we draw close to Him, He's here. That's two scriptures to tell you that when you do something, God will do something in return. And not only that, He said, Matt, I am there, but He also reminded me, I'm the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the same God that moved back then. I'm the same God that's moving now. And I'm the same God that's moving at all these revivals and things that say I'm the same. And if people will just see that and be encouraged, we as a community, we as a body of believers can be encouraged to know this much. When you go to church, you can leave church and say, it was good. You know, let me tell you how you can tell when a person is a mature believer. When you ask somebody why they like church and they say, I like church because God was there. Because God showed up. Because I tell people all the time, don't come to this church because you like my preaching. Come to this church because God told you to be here. Why? Because at some point I'm going to preach something and you're not going to like me. Don't come to this church because you go, woo, the worship. Why? Because at some point the people of worship, it might mess up. Come to this church because you love God. I ask people all the time, why you go to that church? I go to that church because the pastor preaches so good. No, why do you go to the church? Well, because the worship is good. No, why do you go to church? They have an awesome children's ministry. Well, great. But why do you go to that church? Because my friends told me to go. Okay, but why do you go to that church? What am I trying to get to them? What am I trying to get people to think of? I go to that church because God told me to be there. Because God told me to go. Because God told me to be there. And when you come to this church, you bring your supply. And when you come to this church and you step into this building, there's a reason. I was talking to Brother Lonnie. We were talking about this recently. I said, if people just understand, God puts them in churches because there's a pastor that can get to them what they need. It's the pastor that can be used by God to minister to them, but the devil doesn't want them to hear it, so he gets them mad and offended, and they leave the church, and they miss what God was trying to do with that pastor, trying to do through that pastor. It's the reason why God puts you in churches. That's what I tell people. I'm like, you know, Travis Spencer, Fields Church, awesome church. If God calls you to that church, go to it. Why? Because Travis has something that you need, and God knows it. But if God called you to be here, you be here. You be here. Why? Because there's something that you have that we need, and there's something that we can do to help you out and encourage you. See, people ask me, why did you go to LifePoint Church? You know what I always told them? Because God told me to. Oh, you go there because Rob and Sarah Betts are there? Yeah, I remember people said, you know, when I came to church here, you're going to Pastor Marvin's church? Because in Oklahoma, you know, he's kind of like a legend. I mean, he was just very, 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 very well known. He was an associate pastor in a very large church. People knew him. I mean, Brother Lonnie will tell you that. Students knew him. And I remember people all the time would say to me, oh, you going to Pastor Marvin's church? Who? And I was like, I'm going to that church because God told me to. I'm not going to church because he's there. I'm going to church because God told me to go there. Because I'll tell you what I wanted to do when Pastor Marvin started church here. I was like, praise God, have fun with it. But I came here on a Sunday. God was here because his people were here. And I was standing right here, and Pastor Marvin passed me the mic. And I basically shot myself in the foot. Because I said, God spoke to my heart and told me I need to come. And I need to partner with Pastor Marvin. And so I'm coming. I didn't come here because Rob and Sarah were leading worship. I didn't come here because Pastor Marvin was here. Because he was the person of Rhema. I came here because God told me to be here. And I knew this much. If people get together, God will show up. And if people get together, not only will God show up, but people's lives will be changed. And not only that, God, you told me to be here. What is it you want me to learn from Pastor Marvin? What is it you want me to learn from Pastor Rob and Sarah? What is it you want me to learn from Pastor Tom? What is it that they had that I need? That's why I didn't move. Can I just be honest with you? When your pastor dies and you're the one that finds him dead and you try to save his life and he dies in your arms, it's very easy to want to bail on this church. Very easy. But you know what kept me rooted? You know what kept me grounded? Sitting over here with my mom during a funeral service, burying two people that were some of the biggest influences in my, just impacting my life tremendously. Within a week of each other, you know what kept me here? God. Matt, I told you to stay. Okay, God, I'll stay. Matt, I told you to stay. All right, I'm staying. I'm not leaving. That's why I stayed. And I knew this much. You know what helped me out? You know how hard it was for me as a person, an individual, before I was the pastor of this church, to come into this building and worship? It's not easy. It's not easy when you can't go to a back room because you have flashbacks of everything that happened. It's not easy at all, y'all. But you know what got me through it? Coming in here with his people and raising my hands, and he showed up. Sunday and every Wednesday, God showed up. What happened? I would draw close to God, and he would come close to me. You know what happened? Every time I came in here, I was here because God told me to be here. And every day, every Sunday, I came in here. There was days, can we be honest? There was days I didn't want to be here. But I sat right here, and I worshiped God with you, and I magnified God with you. And what happened? God showed up. Why? He inhabits the praises of his people. His spirit was here. His spirit moved. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he would free me and set me free and encourage me and empower me and just talk to me and help me and remind me. And then I would leave different, come back the next week, And it was just, and it was awesome was how much God just ministered. So see, when I read those scriptures, I believe them. And I've seen them work in my life. I've gone through things. I mean, all of us in this room could raise our hands and say, you've come to church on a Sunday or Wednesday, you've gone through something, and you've needed to come in here and worship. You've gone through something that's hard. You've been hurt. Something happened in your life, whatever. And you're like, man, I need to get to church. Why? Because you know that if you can get to church and start worshiping him, he inhabits the praises of his people. And when you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. And the presence of the Lord will fill this place. The Spirit of God upon, the Spirit of God within. And he'll start to move on people and move on individuals. And all of a sudden you go, man, God is real. And it's like that infusing and that power that you need to get through the rest of the week. And it changes your life. So I want to encourage you. God is here. He's here right now. Right now. Right now. He's not some distant off on a planet somewhere. He's right here. Right here. The Holy Spirit, right here. The Word of God taught right here. And what happens is we draw close to him. And man, he draws close to us. And I don't know about you, I like it when God draws close. It's good. So be encouraged. When you see things happening and you get encouraged, just remind yourself, oh, this is awesome. The same God that they're serving is the same God we serve at Life Point Church. Oh, look at the revival that took over, it's exploding over there. Awesome, because the same God they serve, same God we serve. Wow, what God's doing over there in this place. Awesome, same God, same God, same power, same. Woo, same. It's not different, he's the same. Amen, same. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, remind yourself that he is here. When you come on a Sunday, remind yourself he's here. And remind yourself, too, of this. You might say, is he just here? No, like I said before, he's not just here. Wherever you praise and worship, he's right there. And also what's great is he goes with you everywhere you go because he's right here on the inside. And how many of you know it don't take very long to stir yourself up? That's what's awesome about being a child of God. Amen? So just be encouraged this week. Amen? Be encouraged. And when we come on after we got Wednesday off, but when we come back next Sunday and the first notes hits, we're going to all say to ourselves, he's showing up, y'all. He's showing up. And when he shows up, we're going to draw real close. And when he draws close, lives are going to be changed. People are going to be impacted and empowered. And then we're going to take what we learn here and take it out to the surrounding communities. Amen? Let me pray for you guys this morning. Father, I thank you for these men and women. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're just good. You are so good. So good. And Father, I thank you that this morning you are here. And Father, last week you were here. And the week before, you were here. And a month ago, you were here. And a year ago, you were here. When we come together and worship you, when we draw close to you, Father, that you are here, and that you minister to people, and that you change lives because you're here. And Father, I pray for these men and women this week that they'll just have an awareness, a sensitivity to you when they go to work, when they're in their car, when they're at their home, when they lift up holy hands, and when they worship you in the privacy of their house, that Father, you show up and you minister to them because you inhabit their praises. I pray, Lord, that as these men and women draw close to you this week in prayer and in worship and time with you, I pray, Lord, you draw close to them because that's what you said you'll do. So I pray, Lord, that you show up in their life this week. And Lord, I thank you that, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, change us. Every person in this room, change us, mold us, shape us to the men and the women that you want us to be. Father, we have a hunger, a desire to see you move in people's lives, to see men and women come up to where you've called them to be, to see them walk in victory, to watch them overcome. My wife and I have a desire to watch people grow and mature as a family, as individuals. Father, I pray for the people here today in the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, Just infuse them. Just rest upon them this week. And Holy Spirit, remind them, He's here. He's here. He's here. He's not down the street. He's just sitting right here with us today. So we thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering today. Thank you that you're here. Oh, that we don't have to wait, but you're just right here. You're right here. Thank you for these people, Lord. And I thank you that this week they'll just be aware of your presence. Aware. Aware that you're close to them. That you're right beside them. And that your hand is upon them. Lord, I thank you for them. Pray that you watch over them today. And I pray, Lord, when they leave this place, they take what happens here, they take it to those around them, to their friends and their family. And I pray when people ask them, well, how was church? They say it was great because he was there. He showed up. Because when the people of God come together, he's there with us. And I thank you, Lord, that when they share with families and friends, I pray the words they speak will penetrate their heart and push back darkness and cause light to come. And I pray that this place, Father God, be filled with people that are hungry for you. People that are hungry for you, young and old alike. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're going to do in this next year. Father, things are just taking off, and we believe that great things are in store for us corporately, but us individually. And we believe that great things are going to happen in this community. We believe it's going to happen at Life Point Church. We believe it's going to happen in Charleston. We believe that things can change and young people and adults' lives can be impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that men and women will know that you are here and that you're moving and ministering and changing lives. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. If you believe that, could you say amen?